start your day. Make sure the world's okay. Fox News and the Kello News Center. Kello, News Talk 1320, 107.9.
Entering the business zone of Kello News Talk 1320, 107.9 FM. It's Unique Real Estate on Sioux Falls Radio, the only show of its kind in the area. This is It's Your Business. Now here's your conductor, the maestro, and your host for the show, Bill Zortman.
Good morning. I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Business. It's show number 585. And today, we're going to talk addiction and recovery, as we do every other Tuesday. And today, relapse. Due to overdose, there can be relapse and prevention. We're going to talk about that today with somebody that you probably heard of. Joining us today, Joan Swenson, Tallgrass Recovery Admissions and Marketing Alliance. Are you here, Joan?
Back here, Bill.
It's good to have you here. And then there's the schoolmeister, Julie Schoolmeister. Face It Together, Sioux Falls Executive Director. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill.
The death of actor Philip Seymour Hoffman has many talking about addiction since our last show on January the 28th. For almost a year now, we have talked in the show with Tallgrass and Face It Together about the fact that addiction, whether it be alcohol, prescription drugs, or heroin, it's 10 to 20% of the families in our community. In each program, those that have come on the show have talked about their addictions and looking and then finding help here in Sioux Falls. We're going to talk about that today. Joan and Julie, you've been our tour guides through this maze of life's addictions, and you'll continue with that journey today. And the numbers do call attention to the fact that our audience does need help.
Oh, definitely. I mean, in Sioux Falls, you could look at the statistics and say there's about, 18 to 20,000 people over the age of 12 who are struggling with the disease of addiction. So it's definitely a problem that needs to be addressed. And people also need to know that there's a strong recovery community in this town to help.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the greatest things about our community is that we have so many different providers and options for people who are trying to get either themselves or a loved one into recovery.
Now, as you always do, you are very much prepared with a guest that can talk to us directly about the addiction. And in this particular case, we're talking about the actor Philip Seymour Hoffman. Tell us about the guest you brought today.
Well, we brought a fellow named Alex. And Alex is an alumni of Tallgrass, and he's also a volunteer down at Face It Together. So he has ties to both of our organizations, and Alex was gracious enough to join us today to share his story.
Well, let's ask our two ladies first and then Alex, your reaction to the death of another actor from heroin. Is that kind of the way it is, another actor, and that kind of fits? Or should we be looking at it on a much wider scale?
Oh, most definitely a much wider scale. I think when I heard, that was Super Bowl Sunday when it came on the news feed that he had died of an overdose. And the biggest thing that struck me was that he had 23 years of sobriety before his relapse a couple years ago and then had struggled greatly to get back into recovery. And obviously, with his untimely death, he didn't make it in. But then it wasn't till later in the week that I had heard news that one of the ladies who had gone through our program at Tallgrass had also overdosed and died from the same drug. And so it hits no matter, whether you're an actor or not, it's all over, and it hits anybody. It's a very... The disease of addiction is very deadly, and that it is a good reminder that, not everybody makes it out, so.
And two, I think what was interesting is the actors and the celebrities, they get all the media, Mm-hmm. There's people who are dying every day from addiction who we don't hear the stories, and that's why Joan and I come here all the time to talk about this, so that people are talking about the disease of addiction. Over the course of the last week, the media commentary to me was really interesting. with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Aaron Sorkin, who was, he's a famous writer, West Wing creator, and the Facebook movie, The Network, and all that. He had an interesting, it was really short. He was a friend of Philip Seymour Hoffman, and his premise was, why do we call this an overdose? You act like if he would have just taken the right amount of heroin, everything would have been okay. And that was one of those times I went, yeah, he's so right. You know, we should call this what it is. It was heroin that killed him. It wasn't the overdose that killed him. It was the addiction that killed him. So it's always tragic when anyone is lost to addiction, but sometimes it takes a famous person, a more well-known person, to really push the dialogue forward.
Yep. Keep the conversation going.
Joan, you mentioned a lady that had died. Mm-hmm. How common is this in Sioux Falls with the heroin?
I couldn't even guess to know how common it is in Sioux Falls. I don't have, you know, it's not something that I hear a great deal about. I do hear that we have it. Painkillers happen to be probably, I hear more so with that than I do with actual heroin. But I have no doubt that it's here. I have no doubt that people overdose. In my period of working at Tallgrass, which has been about 3 years, I think I've known maybe half a dozen people that have gone into the ER with overdose and, you know, haven't died, but we're very close, you know. So that's, I mean, and there, that's just a small fraction because that's just the ones I heard about, you know. So it's there and it's, I'm sure, just as rampant as anything else, so.
We're going to bring in Alex at this point, and Alex is going to kind of talk us through. He is working through the addiction. You told me you're 27. You'd spent time in Sioux Falls all of your life.
Yeah, born in Sioux Falls, middle school, high school, college. Moved away once or twice. Always been back, always brought me back to Sioux Falls. I've struggled with, you know, a heroin addiction since... Well, I should say that it started with a prescription drug affinity, we'll say. You know, over time, it takes over. You don't realize it. And before you know it, once the prescriptions run out, you need to find a way to continue that high, I should say. So from about 21 is when it started. I'm 27 now. I'm coming up on, for the first time ever, a year. March 4th will be my 1 year mark. And so, that's kind of the long and short of where I'm at, but oddly enough, my addiction was a heroin addiction, is always will be, but yeah, as far as Philip Seymour Hoffman goes, I mean, God rest his soul, but as Julie had mentioned, it's, you know, it's, I guess the way I felt when I heard it, it was nothing more than, another death, you know. Addiction got another one, you know, killed another person.
Did you feel like that could have been you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, in retrospect, now that I've been clean long enough to think about it in that way, I can't tell you how many times I probably was close, you know, to dying, as with anyone who struggles with addiction. But that's not really the way, you know, you want to go about it. Yeah, you have a healthy respect for what it can do and how dangerous it is, but... I don't spend time thinking about the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But of course, it's scary to think about.
The woulda, coulda, shouldas. Families have to be a part of this. What can they watch for? What can they do to help?
Gosh, I mean, trying to put myself in the shoes of my family, I can't imagine what it would have been like dealing with me at that point. You know, whether or not you have a family that you're close with or don't have any family at all, what to watch for. I mean, I suppose withdrawing from life, friends, family, any of that, but it's difficult for me to sit and tell you what to watch for because I spent so much time trying to hide the things that they would have been watching for.
Things that you hid.
Everything. Where I was, what I was doing, what I was spending my money on. It got to the point where every facet of my life was a fabrication. It was a lie. Everything. I created a different universe to live in.
So how did you start on the right track?
Deciding, you know, what my bottom was or getting to that point where it was bad enough to where you truly say, I can't do this anymore. Or if this continues, I'm going to die. And as morbid as that sounds, for some people, it's different for everyone. But for me, that's what it took.
Alex, it takes a lot of courage to make the change. Maybe it takes even more courage to come on and talk with a radio station about the change. What can you do? What can Tallgrass do? What can Face It Together do to help people get on the right track?
I would say the only thing, I mean, people need to seek recovery. It's well known amongst people who have gone through it that unless you decide you want it, you need it, it's not something, at least for me, it was not something I was going to let anyone tell me I needed. And the more people did, the less I wanted it. As odd as that may sound. But what can they do is just put themselves out there and let people know they are available. I don't know how aware, you know, at least the recovery community in Sioux Falls is, that there is so much help out there. As Julie has said, when I think of someone dying, I always ask, did they know, you know, there was help out there?
Julie and Joan, tell people how they get help.
You can call Face It Together at 605-274-2262 or on the internet at faceitsiouxfalls.org.
And Tallgrass's number is 605-368-5559, or you can reach us on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
When we come back, we're going to take a look at what the media has said and see how true it is, or maybe how untrue it is, how big a brush it should paint. That's all a part of our addiction recovery. Talk of relapse. Welcome back to It's Your Business. This morning, we're talking about addiction and recovery, as we do twice a month. And, of course, the death of actor Philip Seymour Hoffman has led us to kind of talk about the heroin side of it this morning. Julia Schoolmeester, Face It Together Sioux Falls, is the executive director. Joan Swenson, Tallgrass Recovery Admissions and Marketing Alliance, and Alex, who will observe a year in recovery from heroin, has joined us as well. All right. People may be just joining us. If they think they need help for any drug addiction, any addiction of any kind, please give them your information one more time.
Sure. Face It Together Sioux Falls is 605-274-2262 or on the web at faceitsiouxfalls.org.
Tallgrass's number is 605-368-5559, or you can reach us on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
All right, we're going to go through four or five of these remarks that were made. First of all, Nick Gillespie, Time Magazine. It has given rise to an equally massive outpouring of patently false and exaggerated stories about the increase in heroin use and the need to do something about it. This is not just misguided, but dangerous. And you would respond?
I would say that probably depends on what part of the country you live in. I think there's pockets of the country where, you know, heroin or OxyContin or different drugs are much, much more prevalent. So maybe this Nick Gillespie gentleman, you know, is speaking to his community specifically, but I don't think it's really fair to just across the board say, well, there's no increase in heroin use.
Sometimes I wonder, too, if it's because we're talking about it more, it seems more prevalent. I don't know the dips and highs and lows of the different drugs that come and go. I know prescription drugs has increased greatly. And, of course, with the tightening of different FDA or government agencies of tightening the belt on that, you know, maybe heroin use obviously has upped a little bit. But I think it's more that we're more aware, it seems like, of mm-hmm. what's going on.
Nick Gillespie, Alex, saying that it's patently false, exaggerated stories about the increase in heroin, you would say?
Like Juliet said, I think it would depend on where you live.
He's Time Magazine. He's talking to people all over the country.
That may be his target audience, but I think still, regardless how objective someone may feel that they are journalistically, I think you still bring your own prejudices and experiences to a story. You know, and give me a break. I mean, if that was his idea, he was gonna write to that.
Robert Hoffman, New York Times. Overdoses often take place over 1 to 3 hours. People just slowly stop breathing. The most frustrating part is that each of these deaths is preventable because there is an antidote to heroin overdose that is nearly universally effective. Some people might argue that the widespread distribution of a safe, effective, and inexpensive antidote might actually encourage drug use. But that's like suggesting that airbags and seatbelt encourage unsafe driving. Is right on target? Everybody is nodding. We're on radio.
Yeah, they can't hear us nod, can they? Some people, you know, about the distribution of a safe and effective inexpensive antidote, they have that in all ambulances, is my understanding, in the hospital. The problem may be, too, that, you know, when somebody overdoses, they're not necessarily with people.
Right.
You know, I mean, he died in his bathroom.
By himself.
By himself. You know, Alex was alluding, or not even alluding, but telling us how he did everything he could to hide his heroin use. I'm pretty sure that kind of is universal for most addicts, you know. I can only speak for my alcohol use, but, I mean, the amount of hiding that goes involved with some of this, all of this, you know, is probably more, you know, it wouldn't matter if you had it in your bathroom, you know, the antidote right there. I don't know that an addict would reach out and grab that, so...
Alex, how do you weigh in?
I mean,
is he closer to being right than Gillespie?
I suppose. The Gillespie one, I don't know if that's a snippet of the quote or not, but as Juliet said, coming at it, it sounds a little bit opinionated. And to say it's patently false without letting us know how or why. But as far as the Hoffman quote goes, yeah, I 1 to 3. I mean, are you asking about the actual overdose itself, or
you can talk to it more than
I have overdosed before.
Right.
Lucky enough, you know, for myself that I happened to be with someone that cared enough to pick up the phone and do something. I mean, I think I'd be curious to know what percentage of those overdoses could have truly been preventable, and there is a window of time when, you know, where you can be brought back, resuscitated, however you want to put it. But I think just as a side note, I wanted to say that we're using heroin. We're saying heroin. It should be considered that this goes for, you know, Oxycontin overdose, fentanyl, Vicodin, Percocet. It's all the same thing as far as overdose. So for someone that just hears the word heroin, I think it's important to note that we're talking about prescription drugs as well.
Paul Barrett, Businessweek, took a little different approach. There's more than one way to view Hoffman's end. Sadness seems required, but let's pay some respect as well. Hoffman had an illness. He fought it for more than 2 decades. While fighting it, he did a lot of outstanding work. He improved the culture, then he fell off the wagon. Let's remember, though, that he tried. Alex, how many try?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
How many try to get on the wagon but then fall off?
Oh, well, you know, when Julie asked me to do this, she said one of the topics was going to be relapse, and we had said, I don't know a single person that's in recovery that has not, you know, fallen off at least once. It's whether you get back on or make it back.
So, Julie, Joan, if they fall off, how do they get back on, or do they really want to get back on?
Well, I think the important thing to remember is that, you know, if we're looking at addiction as a disease, maybe relapse isn't even the right word to use. I don't know. Maybe you have to think of it as a recurrence of symptoms. Okay. So if we look at it through that lens, we have to remember that if someone uses again, it's not that they're a bad person. It's not that they didn't try hard enough. It's not that they failed. It's a matter of finding a different way to manage the disease.
I think if a person does relapse, or however we want to look at it, the most important thing is, A, like you said, the willingness to get back going. Sometimes there's so much shame surrounding our disease and the fact that you've used or drank or whatever. You're immediately filled with an amount of shame that, you know, what have I done, or, you know, and that kind of feeds off of it. and then there's more and more. I think the willingness to tell somebody, A, and then what I've told people who have relapsed that I've been close to is it's time to redouble your efforts. I mean, it's just like any other disease. If you had a reoccurrence of cancer, you know, they would go back in and do whatever deems necessary to get that back under control. It's the same thing. And whatever way that you've gotten it, you know, arrested before, you need to redouble your efforts and maybe add something to that. So
we got one more that we're going to talk about. We want to do that after the break. But again, I want to, if people need help out there, who they call, how they reach you guys.
You can reach Tallgrass at 368-5559 or on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
And you can reach Face It Together Sioux Falls at 605-274-2262 or on the web at faceitsiouxfalls.org.
When we come back, is it something that is a special segment of society, or is it widely spread throughout families that we know? All a part of addiction recovery, trying to help as much as we can with the drug scene, alcohol, anything that might be an addiction, a part of it's your business. Welcome back to It's Your Business. We're talking this morning about addiction and recovery. Relapses, overdoses, prevention, what can we do? All in the face of the death of actor Philip Seymour Hoffman. With us, Joan Swenson, Tallgrass Recovery Admissions and Marketing Alliance, and Julie Schoolmeister, Face It Together Sioux Falls Executive Director, and Alex, who on March the 4th will observe a year of recovery. Alex, what's that mean to you when you say that you're now almost at the year anniversary?
I can't really put into words what it means. I do know that it feels like 10 years to me because of how long the struggle has been. So hugely monumental for me to make it to that year point.
Julie, you were mentioning that he has helped as far as some of those that are trying to get
really
Alex, good help.
Comes down to the center Thursday morning and volunteers. So if there's people who need help with resumes, Alex is really great with that and helping people write cover letters. He's got a good teaching quality. I can see Alex teaching in the future.
Well, he's got a little of experience living in Sioux Falls, Augustana. And at this point, he's just trying to do the right thing, and he's trying to help people on the radio today. We've been using quotes from media around the country to kind of identify, is this the scenario, or is it like sometimes our media, having been in the media 50 years, they can put me in that same corner. But are they on track or are they off track? And the one that we're going to use now is Jonathan Zimmerman, San Francisco Chronicle, SF. I hope we'll use Hoffman's tragic death from a heroin overdose to remind ourselves that drug addiction is pretty ordinary. I've got several addicts in my extended family. So do millions of other Americans. If you think that any of us are immune from drug addiction, you're wrong. And ladies, what would you say?
You are absolutely, he's right, mm-hmm. And you would be wrong. This disease affects everybody, whether it's the person suffering from the disease, whether it's the people in that person's immediate family, extended family, employers. This disease touches everyone's lives.
Definitely. And I think, we've talked a little bit before about how if addiction could be something that was listed on a death certificate, if that could be listed as the cause of death, how many more people, instead of saying, liver failure or heroin overdose or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, how many deaths that would actually be attributed to addiction? I think it would be really interesting because then people couldn't say, oh, I'm not affected by this. You couldn't just, put that back in the closet and say, oh, no, this person actually died from da-da-da. I mean, even suicide, it's like there's so many times when someone passes that in actuality, the reason they passed was from addiction.
Alex, Jonathan Zimmerman, San Francisco Chronicle. Drug addiction is pretty ordinary. I've got several addicts in my extended family. So do millions of other Americans. If you think that any of us are immune from drug addiction, you're wrong. Is he right on?
Definitely. I mean, ordinary, probably not I don't like the word ordinary, but common, everywhere is what comes to mind. And yeah, I think everyone here, even in Sioux Falls, is affected by it one way or another. Absolutely.
All right. So if somebody out there has a problem, how could Alex be a part of this? You said he volunteers on Thursday mornings.
Yeah, you know, come down to Face It Together, Sioux Falls, and speak to Alex or one of our other volunteers or staff members. There's always somebody available to talk.
And when you talk, you feel like you're talking to somebody that maybe has been in your shoes.
That's the case.
They're just trying to change the shoes a little bit, change the style, change where they're going, and
change
survive.
The direction. I was just going to say, I think it's about getting the feet in the right direction again. It's real easy to isolate and feel very alone when you're struggling with the disease. So we always want to make sure that people know they can call anytime, stop in anytime, and there's somebody there to talk to who gets it. These are people in recovery. These are peers in recovery. They've been there. They understand.
So, Alex, if somebody had an issue and you were working on a Thursday, I put a lot of what-ifs in there. How could you help them? What would you tell them?
Well, you always try to just put yourself in their shoes and understand how difficult it is to make that, you know, that leap into recovery, especially if it's the first time. And it gets more difficult every time, you know, you come back in, but you just want to extend your hand, you know, offer a hug, whatever you can do. I mean, if it's helping with a resume or, you know, just listen. But it's, you know, to know that the person you're coming, you know, coming to has been through it, at least for me, in my experience, makes a huge bit of difference. It's difficult to talk about with someone who has never really gone through it. It just makes it easier if you're in those shoes.
All right, people listening out there, if you need help, let's again give numbers, give websites, let's give anything we can that will encourage them to get help. If you know somebody that needs help, could be in your family, could be you, these are a couple of places you can go.
You can reach Tallgrass at 605-368-5559 or on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
Face It Together Sioux Falls is at 605-274-2262 or faceitsiouxfalls.org.
Now, we have talked several addictions, and sometimes we have to do a little bookkeeping, so we're going to catch up on some activities in January. But first, you got an event that you want people to be a part of in February.
We have a special. It's called For the Love of Face It Together Sioux Falls. And we're kind of taking a little twist on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day, a lot of times it turns into this sort of, people call it the Hallmark holiday or, you know, such a commercial holiday. But what we want to do is spread the love of recovery. So we're going to make Valentine's to send to different treatment centers. And what we're asking support to do that is if everyone would donate $10 or more to Face It Together Sioux Falls, and you can go to our Facebook page or our web page to get the link for that. For every $10 we receive, we'll make a Valentine to send to a treatment center. And also, you know, share the message. I made a little video with one of my puppies, Walter, the Golden Retriever, who I can certify he does turn even grown men into mush. Mm-hmm. So if nothing else, you know, go to the website and check out the Walter video. It's on our Facebook page. You know, we just want to help more people, and we want people to know that somebody does care, and that I think so many times when you're facing addiction, for me at least, it was I had a very low self-esteem. I didn't think anybody cared, so why should I care about myself? And being in recovery taught me how to learn to love myself, and then I could love other people. So I want to share that message of love this Valentine's Day.
You had a couple of events on the 29th.
29th of January, yeah, we had down at the Pavilion, we helped with the Dakota Academy of Performing Arts, Who Says I Can't Drink performance for middle schoolers. They had like 120 people show up this last round. Dave Janza, who's one of our recovery coaches, led one of the breakout groups with the kids, so they had some great discussion there. Because as we talked about before, it's never too early to start having those conversations with your kids. And then we also had our prescription drug event over at the Prairie Center on the Avera campus. We had a really great discussion there. There was a lot of professionals in the audience and also people in recovery. And it was great presentations by Dr. Metz, Craig Kindred, and Jesse Mix Erickson, who's a Tallgrass alumni. And then just had a really, I would say, spirited discussion. Joan was there. It was one of those things I was like, wow, the time's already up. You know, don't we have more time for questions? So you got to love it when that happens.
On our show just before that week, you had Carrie Nelson. Mm-hmm. It was on. She is one of those that's a nurse that lost her license. She actually told us she was relieved that she was caught working in a hospital setting. She was tempted. And we're going to take her advice. We have invited Gloria Damgaard, who is the executive director of the Board of Nurses in South Dakota, that has agreed to be with us on our next show, February 25th. And in that show that we did in January, we talked about 15 of the 21 nurses who lost their licenses in 2011 were due to substance abuse, 25 of 34 in 2012. And of the 18,000 nurses in South Dakota, less than 1% lost their license because of substance abuse. Some think it should reflect addiction in our society, and maybe there should be as many as 10% that are really almost would be relieved if they get caught.
Well, yeah, I think that when Carrie talked about the relief, you know, that it was over, that she didn't have to hide anymore. And then I think that was what spirited her into, you know, into recovery at that point. You know, I will not be here for your fabulous show on the 25th, so you guys are going to have to hold your own without me, but make sure that it's on the podcast so I'll be able to listen.
And the last show we did is on the podcast.
Yes.
You go to Kello Radio.
Yep.
And then you hit the podcast, go to It's Your Business, and it'll show pictures, and it'll give you the chance to listen to the audio of that particular show. And we should have this one up later this week. Mark Brown had told me that he'll have it up probably by Wednesday. So we will do that. Alex, we appreciate the courage. Good luck to you on the March 4th date. Keep us posted.
Thanks so much.
If there's something more that you think you can add to the show, we do this every couple of weeks, you're welcome back. Julie, appreciate you.
Am I welcome back?
You are welcome back. And they reach you by calling?
605-274-2262 or on the web at faceatsiouxfalls.org.
Joan?
And they can reach Tallgrass at 605-368-5559 or on the web at tallgrassrecovery.org.
We got one more segment of the show today. Russ Hoovendick, who has talked with us about addiction in veterans, talked about addiction and trying to help, is actually going to talk with us with a veteran on the phone, somebody he's trying to help that's just returned from Afghanistan. We'll have that live conversation, all a part of It's Your Business, on this Tuesday. Well, we know that our good friend Russ Hoovendick, ClientStaffingSolutions.com, has been supporting of the addiction recovery process, and he stands ready to help with job placement. Today, we're going to visit with Russ and a soldier, and then we'll talk a little bit about the fact that he's returned to society here, and it's all a part of It's Your Business. Russ, nice to have you in the studio. We've been talked about doing this for some time, and we finally have a living example of a returning soldier.
Yeah, I think it should be a lot of fun to talk and pretty educational, I think, for our listeners to get an idea of what soldiers face coming back, the challenges that way.
Set up, if you will, Varick.
Well, Varick is a Marine veteran, and he was a colonel in the military. He's a little bit different than what probably we normally work with in terms of he's been a contractor as well, and outside of the military and gone back over to Afghanistan and helping with the military effort there. And I think he'll give us some unique perspectives from that standpoint. And I say that is somebody that we typically don't work with, but here we are working with him. And then last week I just placed an individual that, came from a background very similar, where he was in a contracting position and came back from Afghanistan, and then we actually placed him with Fortune 500 company. So we are expanding our reach, I think.
Varick, welcome to It's Your Business.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Russ. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
As Russ was saying, you've returned from Afghanistan. Can you share with us briefly what you're doing and how you really want to return from deployment to employment?
Yes, I returned from Afghanistan a couple of weeks ago. As I think Russ had mentioned, I'm a Marine Lieutenant Colonel. And over in Afghanistan, I was running the assessments of how the campaign was going. It was very interesting work. It involved a lot of research, surveys, and statistical analysis. And so I think that's helped me prepare for my deployment to employment. The first thing I've done is to try to figure out what I'd like to do. And I think Russ has some materials in his books that can help you figure out where you can add value to an organization. Now, it may seem like an easy thing to do, but it's tough. You got to think about where will you fit, because nobody wants to hire you unless they can figure out how you're going to add value and where you're going to be a good addition.
So
and
how
the
did...
Next, the second thing I... Go ahead, sir.
No, I was going to say, how did you connect with Russ?
Well, Russ, I responded to a solicitation. I've been sending out a lot of responses to various solicitations, and there was one that Russ was a point of contact for. It turns out that wasn't a good fit for me, but Russ was a pleasure to work with and has extended his hand, a lot of positive energy, and we really hit it off.
You know, Russ is still working to place you, but share with our audience the value of a relationship with Russ, an executive recruiter, and what you see it doing for other veterans like you.
Well, Russ has helped me. I'm sure it would help other veterans as well, a great deal of my job search. He always listens. And when I call him, he calls me back. And it may seem simple. It may seem like a simple thing, but it's oftentimes not the case. People are busy, and, you know, you fall off the radar. And also, Russ really understands the job market and the issues that veterans in particular face, and we're looking to transition from, you know, coming back from a deployment. He spent a lot of time working with veterans, and I think he really understands how we're slightly different than people coming from a different career or job. You know, on the positive side, you know, a veteran, when they say that they'll do something, they'll get it done, and they'll show up on time, and we always do what we're asked for. On the less positive side, it's not really negative, because I think it's easy to overcome, is that many of us have spent the last four, in my case, 20-plus years, in an institution that feeds us, tells us what to wear, you know, that has a system for placing us in the next job and the like. So some of us have a bit of trouble transitioning to the civilian environment, and that's where Russ has really proven to be very helpful.
Varick, as we talk with you today, there will be people out there that will say, you served our country, you were a lieutenant colonel, you were overseas, you were actually letting us sleep comfortably at night. Why should you be having trouble finding a job?
Well, it's people, if they know you and if you actually get in front of it and get that interview, usually it's not a problem. But because the job market's pretty tough and it's hard to differentiate yourself, you got to get in front of the person. You got to network. You got to be more than that, just that resume, and you got to show how you can add value. I mean, these people, businesses are not there for charity. They're to make a profit. So you have to be able to show how you can help them make a profit.
Russ, when you hear Varick talk with us on the air today, and we're sharing it in front of a large audience, and the fact that you have talked with him, what did you see in Varick that made you really want to help him?
Well, Varick is probably not unique in the fact that I just love helping veterans, and we've, you know, last year, 40% of the placements I made were veterans. But what I see is a individual that has very good command of the language, knows what he wants to do. And the other thing that I think is really unique that I find is that he's willing to take advice. And sometimes when I'm working with veterans, they're very much self-directed, so to speak. They believe that they can handle it themselves. And the best success I've had with veterans are ones that are willing to listen, take advice, and be willing to change. And Varick certainly falls into that category. I saw that really, really quick. The other thing that he was very open to reading the materials, and I think Varick actually purchased all the books I've written, and responded and asked questions. How would I do this better? That type of thing. And so he is very, very open, teachable. I guess is where I'd put him.
Varick, let me take you back and let's see if you can help our audience a little bit. We've got people out there that have been in the military, family has ties to the military, they're veterans, and they either are unemployed or underemployed. Is there work out there for somebody with your mindset that you've followed the orders of your country for 20 years, that you would be a good employee, you would be a self-starter? Is there something that that they should know?
Well, of course, there's certainly work out there. I mean, the job market is not particularly good right now, but I think that if you are particularly industrious and you really show your skills to your potential employer, then you can find a job. What I would say to people who are in the process of getting out or thinking about getting out and who are out is to start the transitioning as soon as possible. The first thing you got to do is you got to look to yourself and figure out what you want to do and what you're good at. And where those two things align, what you like to do and what you're good at, that's where you should be targeting. So look and research employers that have a need for your skills and present yourself to them in the best possible manner. I also think networking is critical. My relationship with Russ is part of my networking. You know, he helps me meet with potential employers to find prospects out there. But there's other things you can do on your own besides talking with folks just like Russ who can really help you. Subscribe to LinkedIn. There's a lot of networking out there, people who, you know, might be working at a firm you're interested in. Find somebody who is working at a firm you're interested in. Somebody in your family might know somebody. One of your neighbors might know somebody. They're there to help you open that door. A lot of times that I found is, you know, I really have put in probably 50 or 100 solicitation responses. But by the time, the response actually gets out there or the proposal gets out there on the street to looking for a job or looking for advertising a job vacancy, the numbers are against you. So if you can find a hiring manager ahead of time, if you can establish a relationship with that person through maybe a family member, maybe somebody who your family member knows, and get in there and actually present yourself and say, hey, I'm a Marine, I'm a soldier, I'm a sailor, I'm an airman. This is what I did in the military, and this is how I can help you, and show them that you are going to add value to their institution as soon as possible, as quickly as possible, and you're willing to learn, and you're willing to become part of their culture and contribute to their bottom line, then I think you can really get ahead. And I think that Russ's books can really help you. Deployment to Employment is a great book. I give it a review on Amazon. I don't do that typically for books I read. It's fantastic, so I would heartily recommend it. And it's the cost of it is more than covered by some of the goodies that are inside there. I got free business cards because, for example, that more than covered the cost of the book. So that's what I would recommend.
Well, you took the question right out of my mouth here, the value of the book, and obviously with the fact that you did write a review with Amazon that you believe in it. What did you learn specifically from that book that has been helpful in your preparation?
Well, it's a discipline structure. I mean, first of all, it gives you a program of, okay, look to myself, look in the mirror. What do I really want to do? And it's tough for a guy who's a Marine. You know, Marines, we think we can do anything, and in many cases we can. But to actually figure out where you're best, where you're best suited, where your skills are fit, and what you like doing. You know, so many times we don't have the choice of doing what we like to do. We are told what we should do, and okay, we make it happen. But if you can actually look to yourself, look in the mirror, and figure out where your skills and your interests align, that really helps focus. So it has just a good structure. And then it has all kinds of little tidbits in there, like recruiters that have specified in helping or have specialties in helping the military. What I mentioned about the business cards. There's a course in there that I was able to sign up for on a discount on Six Sigma training, which is basically how to help companies improve their bottom line. I got about a 60% discount, which was hundreds of dollars, far more than the cost of the book. So there's all kinds of tricks in there because, you know, Russ has been going around. He's been networking. He's been talking with people, and when you actually sign up for these things or you actually talk to people in these firms or these organizations, they'll help you network, and you'll get other chances to put your name in the hat for job opportunities.
We're up against the clock, Varick. We appreciate you. Okay. Good luck to you. Thanks for the service to our country. Russ Hoovendick, Client Staffing Solutions, Inc., and directionalmotivation.com. God bless you for your service, Varick. Russ, we appreciate what you do.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Back at Advanta Mortgage with Jim Lowe. Jim, why should I use Advanta Mortgage?
At Advanta Mortgage, we specialize just in mortgage loans. At Advanta Mortgage, we process and underwrite our own loans here in Sioux Falls. We have loan officers on call 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our interest rates are very competitive.
Apply online at AdvantaMortgage.com, 275-2777, and NMLS number 162-291. What is Advanta Mortgage's mission statement?
Advanta Mortgage emphasizes the highest professional standard of mortgage lending, priding ourselves on our integrity, honesty, character, and competency, knowledge, and communication. Advanta Mortgage has a passion for serving customers and will strive to become the strongest and best mortgage lender in the market.
Stop by our new location at 57th at the Bridges, 57th and Western, or call 275-2777. Take the first step. Visit us at AdvantaMortgage.com. Advanta Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. An equal housing opportunity lender.
I've got some questions to ask you. Why should my parents choose Nest Tax?
I work for the IRS, and we have an experienced staff that's been voted the local best.
Very intriguing.
We do all individual and business returns. Plus, we offer no upfront fees and free electronic filing at two convenient locations.
So you're experienced? knowledgeable, and you can get their refund in as little as 1 week.
That's right.
Well, when can we start?
Nest Tax and Bookkeeping, 332-4829.
Whether it's close to home or halfway around the world, we've got you covered. Kello, News Talk 1320, 107.9, and Kello.com.
On tomorrow's show, we'll talk with our Affordable Care panel. March 31st, getting closer, and new changes for businesses 50 to 100 employees have just come about. For those that joined us today to talk the heroin addiction, relapse, recovery, from Tallgrass, Joan Swenson, Julie Schoolmeister from Face It Together Sioux Falls, as well as Alex, we appreciate them being here talking about heroin, how it affects all of us, not just the stars. And then Russ Hoovendick from Client Staffing Solutions, we appreciate you being here, visiting with Varick, a Marine Lieutenant Colonel just back from Afghanistan. Quite the story.
Yeah, he's really been an individual that we really appreciate working with, and I think that we're going to be able to help him in a lot of ways.
So basically, you're a executive recruiter.
Mm-hmm.
You help people that might be military, might be those people that are underemployed or unemployed to find help. And you've been around Sioux Falls for 20 years, and you've been working with Fortune 500 companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we not only serve veterans and that type of, but we are individual, but we also do civilian employment as well, so they can reach out to us.
Russ Hoovendick, we appreciate it. We'll be talking from time to time to some of those people that you're helping and trying to help.
Sounds good. Thank you, Bill.
Quite the service. Tim Ness is standing by. He's warming up to talk about taxes. We're only like 8 or 9 weeks away from that April 15th deadline. We'll find out what you need to know with Tax Talk with Tim Ness. That's up next. For now, though, Rev says our time's up. Thank you for yours.
Kello, News Talk 1320, KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9, KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at Kello.com.